you've already heard some of what I've shared, but something happened when we were on vacation that has absolutely thrilled my heart. So I'm going to share with you an opportunity that we have. Meanwhile, if you would do this, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. In the series, Salvation by the Book, I'm going to begin this morning, and I'm not going to get through with it. We possibly will spend about 15, 20 minutes in this, but I'm going to be preaching Repentance by the Book. Repentance by the Book. And again, not finishing this morning, but going to be looking at repentance today and next week, and just seeking, you know, there's so much that's being said. There are people that are, there's infighting everywhere, including fundamental churches, when it comes to repentance. And as the scripture says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. The Bible interprets itself. Amen? And the Bible chooses words. God chose words for specific reason. And there is a change that comes across people. We do not dictate, as we will see, God does. But in this subject, there is something that we need to see, because we are going to be participants in this. So by God's grace, may we hear His voice. Amen? It's good to be back. It's great to be back. We've got some visitors here that, you know, I'm glad you're here, and some dear folks that we love. Let's get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would guide. Lord, I ask that You would use Your instrument and use what Paul called the foolishness of preaching to exalt Yourself. Your will be done. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Is there a role for repentance in salvation? Now, please hear me out. When we talk about repentance, there are some people that automatically bring up a certain mindset. And they're saying, well, wait a minute. You can't do that. You can't demand that. To which my response is, I'm not demanding anything. It's what God's Word says. But on the other hand, there are things that we possibly have put into Scripture that we ought not to have, that we have implied pharisaically. Let the Word speak for itself. God will guide. Amen? He'll guide. Now, you're in Romans chapter 3. How many of you, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody in this, but how many of you have ever shared the gospel with someone? When I say that, this is what I mean. You sat down, you opened the Bible, and you sought to share with someone how they could know that if they died right now, they would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand if you've done that before? All right, hands all over the place. This is not a surprise. What we have here in Romans 3, starting in Romans 3, is what is typically known as the Romans Road. Now, we love to expand on the gospel, but if you boil the fat out of it, you know and I know that there is a place that we need to take people right where they're at, and there are some issues in their lives. There is some understanding that we need to bring to them. We don't do this. Hey, buddy, you want to go to heaven? Sure. Listen, do this. Dear Jesus, save me for Your sake. Pray that. You got it. You're on your way to heaven. Is He on His way to heaven? You don't lead a person to Christ with four spiritual laws. You lead them to Christ by getting them to see their situation before God. And you use verses like what you have used in Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Everybody read it together. 4. I started verse 23. I'm still on vacation. See y'all later. I'll be back. No, I'm just kidding. It feels better with the coat off anyway. So, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what have we started out with? What is the topic that we have just hit? Paul, what's that? We're all sinners. Now, we can talk about the love of God. We can talk about heaven. We can talk about these things, but if there is one thing that people need to understand, it is the fact that we are sinners. Now, we're going to be looking at the subject of sin in 2 weeks, actually probably dovetailing it next Sunday onto the back end of this. Going to be looking at this. What is sin? What does it mean to sin? If all men are sinners, how does that impact us? But the fact of the matter is, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, and there is a consequence that is said here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, as I have explained it, and maybe some of you figured out, you know, you've gotten your way, that phrase come short means to miss the mark. When I lived in the Bay Area, this is how I would seek to get that point across. Say, hey, if we both went down to Pier 39, there's Alcatraz Island. I say, I'm going to jump to Alcatraz. And being the svelte person that I am, that's very much in shape, I give it my best shot, jumping off of Pier 39, and I jump 18 feet. And you say, ha, that was dumb. Number one, you're old. Number two, you're out of shape. Number three, you're fat. Watch me. And so you get it, and you say, I'm gone. And you jump 25 feet. That's wonderful. Except we both missed it by 2 miles. Or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly how many miles it is from the shore. We have come short. We have missed the mark. This is something that people need to understand. We are not thinking Hindu. We don't just add Christ to our abundance of idols. We don't say it's Christ plus. Jesus and Him alone. We continue this with the fact in Romans chapter 4 that it is by faith, and we see that through the man Abraham. Then in Romans chapter 5, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We start out, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. The word death simply means separation, but it means separation. And that is something for all eternity unless God takes care of it. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Then we go to Romans 6:23. Now there might be some more that you add in on this. And again, we're going to be talking about the subject of sin soon. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we have done is we have exposed the difficulty that humanity has because of their sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. A wage is what you earn. What you have earned is death, separation from God. You can go ahead and bring in the subject of hell here. There is no other way to put it, folks. Jesus Christ spoke far more about hell than he did about heaven. When you want to read about the love of God, you go to John. When you want to read about the grace of God, you go to Paul. But if you want to read about the judgment of sin, you go no further than Jesus Christ, because he spoke about it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, different word. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Preacher, I thought this was about repentance. It is. Please follow me. There's another verse that we go to. It's found in in Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2, if you would please, even if you know it. In verse 8, I just read this in my devotions yesterday. In verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There's that word gift again, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A few weeks ago, and I wish Kathy was here. I'm not sure where Kathy is right now. There was a fellow that was coming to my Bible study in Whitney Oaks, where Bob Heyer is. And this fellow, John, that had been coming, died. So I was able to go and speak to the wife and the two daughters there at Whitney Oaks. I was able to give a tract to one of the daughters, our one, what do we all have in common? But that was it. I gave them my card, and I thought, well, you know, that's all that there's going to be. A week ago, this last Friday, I'm on vacation up in Oregon, my phone rings. I look at that number, and I'm thinking, I know that number. So I answered. It was John's wife. She said, I didn't know that I had to have somebody, I had to get somebody to speak at the service. We're burying my husband over at the Veterans Cemetery in Dixon. Can you come and speak Monday morning? I said, are you kidding? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I didn't get to talk to them much. I said, I'm on vacation right now, but I'll go. I didn't even put a tie on. I didn't put a suit on. Just a collared shirt. And I thought, well, I'm dressing down, but there's probably not going to be that many people there. I couldn't believe it. I got there. There was a huge line of cars. Now, it must have been, you know, there was only one or two people in each car, because there were almost 50 people there. But it was so great to give them the gospel. Folks, and by the way, John's best friend was there, and he's a Christian. And he was there. He was all for me. You'd have loved his cowboy shirt. You'd have asked him for it, Ed. I'll tell you what, you'd have asked him for it. That was sharp. But, you know, just to be able to tell people, you don't work for it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to his mercy that he saved us. I praise God for that. But to get to understand this, we're pointing them to the fact that their sin has done something. So yeah, but what about repentance? Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Something has happened to the person. Their life has changed. When did it change? How did it change? That's what we're going to be looking at. Go back to Romans, if you would, please. Go to chapter 10. In giving the gospel, we finish up in the book of Romans usually here, that if thou shalt, this is verse 9, Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means to say the same thing as, I am agreeing, this is what I have come to be convinced of, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now notice that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A change has been made. But here's the challenge. When it comes to that change, number one, who caused it? Number three, how is it carried out? Number four, what if there's not a change in the person's life? Would you do this? Would you go to Matthew 7? Matthew 7, please. You know, this is the tail end of what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. So follow me. I don't know what it's going to be like at the great white throne judgment. I don't know. I'm not sure. This is what I imagine. Maybe it's going to be that way. Maybe it isn't. On the one side, you have the redeemed. People who have trusted Christ. Somehow, maybe they're being able to watch this. Again, I don't know. But on the other side, there are the billions of people that never trusted Christ as Savior. But in that mix, there's really quite a mix. You've got people that never even hardly gave God a second thought. But then you've got the very religious. Now look at this, Matthew 7, look at verse 21. I believe that this speaks of what's going to take place at the great white throne judgment. One of the passages. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, did you just catch that? Not everybody. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Question, what is the will of the Father? Now again, I'm splitting this in half. Verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, can you believe this? Listen to this. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I am convinced that in that group are going to be Baptist pastors, Sunday school teachers, listen, soul winners, people that honestly shared the gospel with somebody else, but they didn't have it themselves. Now, you can sit there and very comfortably say, well, that's just your opinion. This is important. I encourage you to hear this message out today and next Sunday. But think of it. In Revelation 20, verse 15, when it comes to that group, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That verse right there ought to get us to thinking. People grow comfortable. I mean, we can sit back in the chairs. Hey, I've been going to church all my life. I signed a card. I got baptized. Don't mess with me, preacher. We're going to mess. You know why? How many of you want to die and go to hell? Raise your hand. How many of you would rather go to heaven? Amen. Which means what? If there is one singular subject that needs to be taken care of, it is the disposition of your soul before God and my soul before God. This is why we're looking at it by the book. There's a saying that I've used before, and I really like it. It is not original with me. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. On the outside, someone can do this. On the inside, they're doing this. Why? Because their will says, I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. I'm going to go with what I want to go with. And no matter what you say, I'm going to be right. There is a man that was a best friend of mine. I watched him give the gospel. But down deep inside, he had wholly given himself to perversion. And he was not repentant of it. He embraced it. Unashamedly, I found out. There was no excuse. There was no, well, you know, I've been battling this. No, you're right, you're wrong, I'm right. That's just the way it is. Folks, when you wind up having somebody like that, they can have an outside pressure that gets them to preach, give the gospel. I believe Judas performed miracles. I know he did. Christ gave him the ability. But Judas is in hell today. That's frightening for people that might be toying with this idea of their salvation. I was with my son's pastor this last week, and that's going to lead me to the next situation. He and I got to talking about stuff that's been a blessing to us. I told him about how I've got a former pastor myself, Pastor John Mincy, who was putting some sayings on Facebook that were from the Bible college that we had both gone to. One of those sayings is this. I want to make sure I get this right. The wise man always prepares for the inevitable. The wise man always prepares for the inevitable. Now, what is the one singular thing that is inevitable in human life? Death. And once you cross that threshold, it's a done deal. Go to John chapter 8, would you please? John chapter 8. As I was meditating on vacation, This came to me, and it's like, wow, I have got to remember this. John chapter 8, verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, oh, they love to bring up Moses. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be what? Stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. What did Jesus do? But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, watch the result, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The question comes up, what was he writing? I'll tell you what I believe it was. He was writing the commandments. And I'll tell you why. When you see the finger of God in the book of Exodus, you see him putting out the Ten Commandments. When you see the finger of God in the book of Daniel, you see three words, but they have judgment written all over them. Numbered, weighed, divided. Why? Because of sin. This was the finger of God. By the way, he was not writing in dirt. There was not dirt there on the Temple Mount. His finger was tracing over on the stone that was there. And he's writing, but they're watching. What took place? They were convicted. Why? Because he was writing the simple Ten Commandments, I believe, and they knew their own wickedness. Why did I bring that up? When we talk about salvation, there is no getting around this. Salvation is not going to find the fruit, the good soil, unless two things take place. Number one, the preaching of sin and the preaching of the judgment of sin. There were a group of men that were asked, why did you get saved? And they were asked this, did you get saved because of preaching on heaven? All of them said no. Did you get saved by preaching on hell? And every hand went up. What is hell? Hell is the judgment that comes because of man's sin. Amen? At that point, I'm going to stop this message.